till the day that I die. You are the love of my life. I spent a lifetime waiting, always hesitating until you. I was lost so deep inside my shell till you came and saved me from myself. Now all
Michelle Franz in the White House says there are now no plans for President Trump to meet with Russia's President Vladimir Putin in the immediate future.
This comes after the president said last week, following his phone call with Putin, that he would meet with him in Budapest, Hungary in the coming weeks. The president also said after his phone call with Putin that there would be high-level meetings between the U.S. and Russia, with Secretary of State Marco Rubio there for the administration. But now the White House says that Rubio will not be meeting in person with his Russian counterpart, Foreign Minister Lavrov, following a phone call they had on Monday. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Senate lawmakers are not expected to take up any measures today to end the government shutdown, now 3 weeks long. Democrats and Republicans remain deadlocked over extending health care premiums. J.D. Vance in Israel today telling reporters he thinks the ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas will hold despite recent deadly clashes over the weekend. This is ABC News. The president of the Louvre appeared before France's Senate Culture Committee today facing questions how museum staff and security missed the coordinated theft of jewelry and the crown jewels from the French monarchy. ABC's James Longman is in Paris with more.
ABC News, the first network inside the Louvre since that stunning daylight heist. We're led to the rotunda right outside the hall where the jewels were taken. The elaborate doors closed and barred. Inside, still a crime scene. The chair alongside, where security may have sat on that fateful morning, empty. Security personnel move between these rooms. When the thieves broke in, they threatened the guards stationed inside, who then rushed to evacuate the museum.
The search for the suspects ongoing. Authorities are concerned that the jewels could be altered, melted down, and cut to be resold. Since states and school districts began banning cell phones in the classroom, new data showing it could help students when it comes to test scores and focus. The study from the National Bureau of Economic Research. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code COOL to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen. I'm Raymond Newbert. We're hearing more about the investigation into the death of a child in West Allis. Police in West Allis report that 4-year-old Dante Campbell was found dead on Monday. Fox 6 reports that police say Dante was found covered in bruises when paramedics arrived, and that the boyfriend of his mother claimed the child was stiff already after falling down the stairs Friday night. Both the child's mother and her boyfriend have been arrested. They have not been named nor charged. State funding on the way for mental health services in the Chippewa Valley. We get more from Bob Haig.
The Wisconsin State Senate last week approved a one-time grant of $10 million for Rogers Behavioral Health to build a new integrated mental health facility in Chippewa Falls, which State Senator Jesse James calls
no less than the most significant win for mental health in the Chippewa Valley ever, and our state for that matter.
Last year saw closure of Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls.
We've lost mental health beds due to those closures, including our youth inpatient beds. Rogers will be bringing that back.
The new Rogers Behavioral Health Chippewa Falls facility, projected to open in early 2027 with 14 inpatient rooms and 24 residential rooms.
Another Universities of Wisconsin two-year campus will be closing. This time it's Baraboo, Sauk County's campus of UW-Platteville. That's effective of May 22nd of next year. Campus enrollment is only 178 people. Layoffs on the way at Molson Coors. The company announced Monday it will lay off 9% of its salaried staff company-wide. Those cuts will come by the end of December, but it's unknown how many will be at the Milwaukee Brewery. The company reported $428 million in profits last year, but says it needs to maintain sustainable growth. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Let's say you're presented a stock which yields a guaranteed 82% return. You'd put your money in it, right? That magical stock is called Farm Radio, and for our advertisers, it is pure gold. 82% of farmers listen to their trusted farm radio station at least 4 days a week. The moral of the story? Farm Radio pays dividends, and both the listener and the advertiser lived happily ever after. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers and gusty winds on your Tuesday. West and northwest winds between 35 and 40 miles per hour, with highs topping out only in the mid-40s. Showers looking likely in the overnight. Clouds, it'll stay breezy, with lows in the upper 30s to near 40. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Currently 44 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Price has triggered a freezer full of reaction from the industry. We'll talk about the plan that apparently includes opening up new ground for cattle production. And let's put a wrap on the 2025 growing season. Look forward to what's happening in South America and get an idea of what to expect in the Midwest this winter.
Live, rounding the bend, whether we like it or not, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Ethan Lane from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Then it's Kevin Marcus from Marcus Weather. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
Okay, so yesterday afternoon when the wind started to blow again up here in northeast Iowa, and I said, it feels like something just changed out there. Yeah. Well, this morning, it is 45 degrees in northeast Iowa.
Okay.
The wind is blowing like crazy, and it's a feels like of 25.
What?
25, Davis.
Wow. I don't know who's doing the math on that, but that's a 20-degree difference.
They don't do the math on it. They just have a guy that steps outside and goes, feels like 25 to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice work if you can get it.
I was just going to say, I'm raising my hand. Get me in on this gig. Get me in.
We're 55 here. Feels like 49.
Okay.
So it's chilly here. It was really windy.
Well, it's the tropics.
Yesterday.
So.
Well, it is the Midwestern subtropics. Yes, yes. Yeah. We bask in it. But I'm going to go out and lay on a flat rock a little later and just sort of sun myself. That's what we do here when we're cold. But 55, it feels like 49. It definitely feels like we turned the corner. Talk about filling the freezer. Sounds like y'all are going in the freezer right with it.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, if that big flat rock has got a yellow line that runs right down the middle of it, I would stay off of that.
You know, I learned that one the hard way.
Did you?
Yeah.
Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning. We are going to talk about this Trump administration plan with Ethan Lane, Senior VP, Government Affairs, NCBA. Yeah. They're adding on. Trump is adding on. Rollins is adding on. We're going to try to find out exactly what is happening there, and then we're going to talk weather with Kevin Marcus. Looking forward to that that conversation. One thing that's very important to remember about Kevin, even before we start this conversation, is that Kevin has a long history and a solid reputation of taking what has happened with the weather and turning it into yield. We're gonna be talking about what he's heard on harvest reports, and how the end of the growing season, what kind of an impact that may or may not have had on yields out there. So
cool. Okay.
Really looking forward to the conversation with Kevin Marcus.
Yeah, good deal.
All right, buddy, should we go ahead and get to the news?
We'll start with the National Weather Service. Blustery northwesterly winds will make for a windy day today across the northern plains with passing showers. A cold front trailing from that system will bring some showers and thunderstorms across the deep south today. Meanwhile, Chip, get this. Near record high temperatures are forecast this afternoon for southern Texas, where temperatures will once again soar well into the 90s.
Wow.
December corn was up a quarter cent. November beans up 4.5 cents, up to a four-week high. December winter wheat futures markets were just fractionally lower. All that in overnight trade. The U.S. dollar and crude oil futures slightly higher ahead of the open. Looks like we still have a little pressure on corn there, a little strength in beans.
Yeah, corn's backing off just a little bit from the highs that we saw in the overnight. Soybeans still trading slightly higher. Meal is leading the way there. Wheat, wheat is wheat. Can't find any footing out there right now. The livestock markets, they're all trading to the upside here this morning.
Well, Chip, pro farmer crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier says China will probably purchase a limited amount of U.S. soybeans as part of its bargaining strategy with President Trump. But Cordonier warned if China wants to play hardball, they could conceivably rely on reserve supplies until new crop is available in Brazil and not purchase any U.S. soybeans. Meanwhile, U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said he'll be meeting with Chinese Vice Premier He Lifeng this week to try and fend off an escalation of U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods. Bessent and the Vice Prime Minister spoke on the phone late last week and engaged in what the Secretary called frank and detailed discussions regarding U.S. and China trade. Bessent said on Friday the two will meet in person this week to continue those discussions.
It's almost like these two guys are getting together to get it back to where it was before President Xi and President Trump last week started to escalate this thing. Get it back to where it was before, and then let's see if we can make progress from there.
Well, Chip, following President Trump's comments about importing beef from Argentina to lower prices for American consumers, National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue reaffirmed the need to strengthen fairness and competition within the U.S. beef industry rather than rely on imported products. In a press release, LaRue said, quote, the White House recently bailed out Argentina with $40 billion in U.S. taxpayer-backed aid. And Argentina's response was to strike new deals selling soybeans to China, deals that hurt American crop farmers. The last thing we need, he says, is to reward them by importing more of their beef. I'm anxious to hear what Ethan Lane has to say about this situation.
Yeah, Argentine beans, Argentine beef, both are leaving a bad taste in American farmers' mouth right now.
Well, President Trump on Monday signed a landmark pact with visiting Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese to boost U.S. access to rare earth minerals and other critical minerals in an effort to counter China's tight grip on the supply chains of key metals. The two governments will jointly invest in a swath of mines and processing projects in Australia to boost production of commodities used in advanced technologies. I like this one.
Davis, we talk about President Trump being the best negotiator in the world, and I'm not saying that he isn't. But this seems pretty obvious. If China is going to hold rare earths as leverage in the negotiations, then go find rare earths someplace else or open up mining in the U.S. Go get it someplace else.
Yep. Well, according to a Bloomberg report, waiting times for vessels are stacking up off China's ports. They've increased 17% week on week to the longest time this year as the geopolitical sparring between Beijing and Washington disrupts global trade. Prolonged log jams at Chinese ports could ripple through global shipping. The amount of crude on tankers at sea has risen to a record high as producers keep adding barrels, according to data from Vortexa. The International Energy Agency is also projecting a record crude oil surplus next year as OPEC Plus and their producers from outside the group increase crude oil output. And finally, daily price volatility in gold and silver futures markets has turned extreme. Gold futures notched a record high on Monday, but both gold and silver were sharply lower overnight, with gold down $90. And silver losing $2.50 per ounce, trading back below key $50. Chip.
Yeah, when we start using ocean-going crude tankers for storage facilities, that's when things can get upside down on you, like negative $30 futures kind of upside down on you.
Yep.
I remember that very clearly. Good stuff. Thank you, Davis. Yes, hey, we've got Ethan Lane, NCBA, up next here on AgriTalk.
For dairy producers, the health and viability of their herd is just as important as the health and viability of their business. Interested in hearing more from producers on the upsides, the struggles, and what they expect in the future? Check out Clarity at Work, a podcast from Zoetis, featuring dairy men and women across the U.S. moving their herds into the future with genomic testing. Clarity at Work can be found anywhere you stream podcasts, as well as clarifiedplus.com.
Hey, Jim.
Bob.
Quite a season, huh?
Yeah, there was a lot stacked against us, but that's where having a solid plan and, you know, data-driven insights instead of just guessing really made the difference.
Yeah.
Looked at soil types and other research to make sure every acre had the right seed to maximize ROI potential.
That's great. I was referring to the Greyhounds being undefeated.
Oh.
Cropland Seed. Anything but typical.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. You'd never settle for underperformance. You'd never settle for less than maximum yield. You'd never settle for gaps in the stand. So why settle for anything less than DeKalb corn? DeKalb seed is for those who make outstanding performance a priority. With a broad portfolio of products bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand corn. Never settle. Visit DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
I started making supplements for dairy cows in my garage and selling them to local farmers. Now First Choice Dairy Supply distributes products all across the U.S. and in 50 countries around the world. I'm Tucker Silverhorn, president of First Choice Dairy Supply, and I've been a member of Wisconsin Credit Union for over 20 years. I have a master's degree in organic chemistry. I know how to make these products, but I am not a money person. I need a partner with financial expertise, and that's Wisconsin Credit Union. I trust Wisconsin with all my financial matters because they've done such a good job of bringing different solutions to the table, being open and clear with their communication. As a business owner, I wear a lot of hats. One day I might be working on chemistry. One day I might be developing a new product. The next day I might be doing sales. Next day I might be plowing this parking lot. Having Wisconsin Credit Union come down and spend time with me, that's been really valuable for me. I run the science, they help me run the business.
Wisconsin Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
I can count on Wisconsin Credit Union.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you were with us on this Tuesday morning. I'm Chip. Davis is here, and joining us right now, Ethan Lane, Senior VP of Government Affairs at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Ethan, it is good to talk to you again. How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be better, Chip. What could possibly be going wrong this week that might be derailing my day?
I hear you. You know, sometime we're just going to have to look for something that's going right that we could just get together and have a fun conversation about instead of trying to put fires out all the time, man.
When that day comes, amigo, I will get on a plane and come to the studio to do the show.
Love it. I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to hold you to it. All right. So President Trump, late last week, he put, this fixing beef prices. Beef prices are too high on the radar. And then over the weekend from Air Force One, he started to add some of the details to the plan that the administration has to bring down beef prices, which evidently includes imports of beef from Argentina. What's your reaction to all this, Ethan?
Well, a couple different levels, right? First of all, you know, those of us that understand the cattle and beef supply chain know that, you know, an extra 20,000 metric tons or whatever from Argentina isn't going to change the price of your Five Guys hamburger one iota. It's not going to change the price of a pound of ground beef at the grocery store. That's simply not how things work in the most complex set of commodity markets on planet Earth. And you've got that situation sitting out there, you know, where we have high demand for our product. This industry has worked tirelessly to build demand for U.S. beef, and that is working. At these higher prices, consumers are still showing up and choosing beef. Yes, of course, we're all watching them shift to different cuts, right, and economize. But they're keeping beef at the center of the plate because they like what we're producing. We do not need government assistance with that. When it gets too high, they'll buy less of it, and that will send the market signals through the supply chain that are needed for everybody to correct. But doing something artificial in the midst of the only part of agriculture that is in a good market environment right now is just not what we would expect from a Republican administration. It's not what we would expect from people who respect the free market. And it's making a lot of us around the table here at my board meeting in Denver today reference back to the days of Ronald Reagan saying the nine most dangerous words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Ethan, my initial instincts here were to ignore this story, all right? Ignore the comments. But then you remember that not that long ago, they came up with a five-point plan to bring down egg prices. And they were successful. And it took away an opportunity for our nation's egg producers to bring in some of the benefits of the high egg prices and rebuild a flock with market incentives. Instead, those market incentives were gone because of some change in policy. That's why we've got to look at what the president is talking about and take it very seriously.
Well, our producers don't have the luxury of ignoring it because they're in the futures market, right? They're trying to lock in LRP contracts. This isn't a future prospect of concern. This is millions of dollars out of the supply chain every single time we have one of these off-the-cuff remarks. The markets go crazy. We're limit down. Producers can't access LRP. Other producers have margin calls that are cutting into their profits at a time when economic data is showing us producers in the cattle and beef supply chain are just now starting to feel the effects of a good market, right? We've been in one for several years. Sentiment is just now in that place where they're feeling that. The last thing they need is something derailing that at this point in the process. We have enough headwinds, right? We're locked out of China. That's a couple billion dollars a year, our third biggest market. We have labor issues because of the ongoing immigration campaigns. We have the Mexican border closed. We have all of these pressures. You know, the administration has asked us to play this game on expert mode, and then they're continuing to throw new wrinkles into that in an attempt to sort of help or fix something. And I think you're seeing that frustration really bubble to the surface. And yeah, I think cattle producers are looking at eggs. They're looking at soybeans. They're looking at those other commodities and saying, gosh, we do not need that kind of assistance.
Right, right. Okay. So even if Argentina decided that they were going to send all of their exportable beef to the United States, I'm with you. It barely moves the needle. Barely.
It's 2.1% to 2.5% of right. beef supplies. Like, that's what we're talking about here. It's just not a market move.
Exactly. Okay, but in the process, wouldn't we be making the industry a little more vulnerable to some animal diseases. I mean, well, that's a little bit more.
Yeah. Yes. And look, you know, just ask Twitter. Everyone will tell you, you know, we are an organization that is pro-trade, right? This industry benefits tremendously from exports and from those trade relationships. But the problem with that is you have countries that don't meet our standards. Yes, we've had serious concerns with Brazil. We've been vocal about that. Paraguay, same deal. Colombia, same deal. And Argentina was one of the countries we listed during the transition to this administration to say we have serious, longstanding concerns with their central competent authority, their ability to detect diseases, and their ability to be a good trading partner. So we have those two different ends of the thing here, right? We have the market impacts from the offhanded comments, and we have the fact that they're just flat not a good country to do business with. And right. You know, exposing us to more of that is problematic in our concern, in our
right.
opinion.
Right. Right. Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the comments from USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins. The U.S. could open new lands for ranching to curb beef prices. She called it a pretty big initiative. What might she be talking about, Ethan?
Well, you know, there's been, and we've been talking about this forever, and this is something we're really hopeful that they're going to follow up on because it could be beneficial to producers in the West, particularly younger producers. You have a tremendous amount of what we call vacant allotments, grazing allotments that for one reason or another were not occupied by a grazing permittee. You know, they get mired down in NEPA processes and permit reviews, and the environmentalists come in and sue. And you have a lot of untapped grazing land. A lot of it is seasonal, right? This is a very different kind of access point. You still need a lot of private land resources in order to make that a reality. But this would be a way to open up more land to young and beginning farmers and ranchers that are trying to figure out how to access grazing land with these escalating land prices, right? All this stuff kind of comes back to the same themes we always talk about in agriculture. When you get to the West, you have that added layer that the landlord of most of that grazing land is the federal government. So, right. Yeah, I mean, Secretary Rollins has some tools at her disposal to open up that land, and that would be huge for that segment of producers, about 22,000 of them that are operating in those environments, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so bring that idea to the Midwest. I've got a half a dozen messages this morning. Are they talking about opening up the CRP for grazing, like, permanently?
So that's my understanding, is that's been one of the items that's sort of in the mix. And certainly I think we would be supportive of some movement on CRP as well. But look, that kind of thing, looking for ways to follow up on the ideas the industry has long talked about, that's helpful, right? That's getting the government out of the way. And I think those are things producers can rally around from coast to coast, regardless of what kind of, you know, private land grazing mix you're operating in. The less you have the federal government acting as an impediment to you getting cattle to the grass that they need to get to, the better off this supply chain is going to be. So we applaud anything that's in that space, right? Stay out of the markets and focus on how you can get the government out of our business.
Okay. There were also comments that the Trump administration plans to simplify regulations for meat processing facilities to increase domestic capacity. Ethan, don't we need more cattle to make this an effective effort?
Well, and that's been kind of the thing that we've talked about is, you know, we have talked for years now about the need for different hooks in the supply chain, right? Not necessarily more hooks, different
right.
hooks, more marketing options for producers so that if they don't like, you know, selling through, you know, a kind of a conventional channel, they've got other ways to go that aren't a consolation bracket on their cattle. And that is also one of those areas that's a phenomenally important area to go into. The Vilsack team at USDA tried to incentivize some of that. I think we could spend another show talking about the failures in doing that, right? Effectively, it sounds like they're going to take another run at trying to do that. Also, sort of the unending discussion of the Prime Act versus, you know, sort of more state inspected. There was some language in the Farm Bill from last year that that was negotiated that would be kind of a modified version of the Prime Act that would allow for some of that sale at the counter in those state inspected and custom exempt facilities. There's a lot of room to operate there that would fit with NCBA policy and what producers are looking for as far as food safety, but get more product out in front of consumers in different ways. So there's a lot on that end of things that they could work on that would be really beneficial to the supply chain as well. But again, it's in that same bucket, Chip. Get out of the way. Make it easier.
Yeah, exactly. Ethan, you know, there's a lot of ideas that are out there to help bring this beef cow herd back. I'm willing to talk about any and all of them, but boy, talking about price controls or something like that, absolutely, positively, non-starter on that.
Biggest headwind to herd rebuild right now is the fact that this is a volatile market that's being influenced from the outside. Producers don't feel confident because things keep changing under their feet.
Yes. Ethan, it's always good to talk with you, sir. Thank you so much for making time.
Thanks, Chip.
All right. Ethan Lane, Senior Vice President, Governmental Affairs at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We're talking weather next here on AgriTalk.
They say that good things come in threes. And now Pivot Bio Proven G3 is proving it. The first proven product with three modes of action is now available to feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential. Proven G3 locks in at the roots to deliver steady nutrition when and where your corn needs it most. Lock in and learn more at pivotbio.com/provenG3.
With corn rootworm costing farmers up to $1 billion a year, you need the right strategy. Introducing Durastack Trait Technology, featuring three powerful modes of action to strike corn rootworm at full force, outsmart, outmaneuver, and outmatch their every move with the industry's first triple BT protein stack built for corn rootworm control. Take back your yield potential. Make your move at Durastack.com. Available for the 2027 season.
Farmers, thinking about doing cover crops? Christina Olson is pleased to announce Cover Crop and Forage Planting Services this fall. Adding a living root onto your valued land can improve soil health, build organic matter, residue management, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, as well as increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Find her on Facebook at Christina's Cover Crops, offering winter wheat, rye, and triticale.
Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk down 10 to 16.92, December down 21 to 16.52, January down 19 to 16.11, February down 9 at 16.20. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets moving higher as the trade is pretty much showing that they respect and acknowledge the strong fundamental positions. But at the same time, they're still aware of the technical risks that still linger. Hog markets moving higher, the market potentially finding a bottom. October live cattle up $2 to $243.85. October feeder cattle up 15 cents to $373.10. December hogs up 75 cents to $82.82. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets moving mostly lower, soybeans and wheat following suit. For corn and soybeans, it's really that weather with helping the harvest progressing nicely, and that continues to provide some fresh harvest pressure. Meanwhile, wheat markets are moving mostly lower, some firmer dollar, and is pressuring the market along with the trade just being in a range-bound type of trade today. December corn down 4.25 to 4.19. New crop 26 down 2 to 4.56. November beans down 2.25 to 10.29.5. New crop 26 down 2.75 to 10.71.5. December wheat down 4 to 5.75.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa know-how from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by new Proven G3 from Pivot Bio. Proven G3 is bringing corn farmers three game-changing modes of action that feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential. Lock in and learn more at pivotbio.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you're with us. A really good conversation there with Ethan Lane from NCBA. Made some great points and some things to think about as we address this issue going forward. All right, right now let's talk about the weather and crops and yields. And we've got Kevin Marcus, Marcus Weather Consulting. Kevin, man, it's good to see you again. How are you?
Great, Chip. How are you feeling?
Doing real fine, man. Good to glad that you are here. You know, I want to start by putting a wrap on 2025 growing season for both corn and soybeans. And what the end of that season, you know, post-pollination, what it meant for corn and soybean yields.
Well, this year finished similar to last year. September, October, warmer and drier, record dry in some areas, record warm across most of the Midwest. So that sped up the development of the maturation process, and that typically results in loss of yield. But one of the differences, big differences year over year, there's two, one in the east, and that was the warm nights. We had a lot of warm nights during July and early August in the eastern Corn Belt, and we've probably the highest number since 2010, 2011, and those warm nights, which exhaust the energy through nighttime respiration, steals away from the grain development. So shallower kernels, I think that's being observed with the, especially in Illinois, parts of Indiana and Ohio, with the lower grain yields. And then, yeah, the big story further west is southern rust. Yeah, you and I are both in those fields getting covered in becoming orange men coming out of some of these fields. And, you know, that's also been shown to be stealing 30, 40, 50 bushels an acre for fields that were untreated. So you take a look at a state like Iowa, which seems to be the epicenter of the problem.
Yep.
You know, if just 10% of the fields weren't sprayed properly, and that was a 50 bushel loss, that's 5 bushels off the state yield right there, and at least a bushel off the national yield. So you know, that was the other issue. Too wet conditions led to, you know, really a cornucopia of diseases led by, you know, southern rust being the new one.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, you're seeing more ideas that the national yields dropping below 180. You know, pro forma looks like came out yesterday with 178. Air model without their southern rust issue is just hanging just a little bit above 180. But if you add in the southern rust losses, we'd also be at or below last year's final yield.
Right. Is that kind of where you see things right now, Kevin?
Yes, it's, you know, a bushel either side of last year's yield, it looks like.
Okay. All right, what about on
soybeans? On soybeans, faring a little bit better. Soybeans, I think, fared a little bit better, particularly the earlier crop before the April planted crops had more moisture, you know, cool temperatures in August during the grain development before it did turn warmer in late August. So the earlier beans should be yielding quite well. And, you know, we do have a record by a tenth of a bushel at 52 bushels per acre, but still below the USDA's 53.5.
Yeah. Yeah, you take a bushel and a half off that national average bean yield, it starts to have an impact on the balance sheet on soybeans. You get the corn yield all the way down to a 178.5, I'll just call it that. And, yeah, it starts to have an impact on the balance sheet for corn, but it's not like what taking a bushel and a half off the national average yield on soybeans would be. That is for sure. Okay, what is the primary driver of the weather patterns out there right now, Kevin?
Well, La Nina is a factor. I think the combination of La Nina plus what's going on in the Indian Ocean area and the Madden Joint Oscillation. So you have in warm waters in the eastern Indian Ocean. La Nina is pushing water from the Pacific towards Southeast Asia. You have a Madden Joint Oscillation, which is kind of a rotating ENSO light type signal, meaning it paces through different phases over the course of 4 to 6 weeks, but it's primarily stuck right now in La Nina-like phases over Southeast Asia. So that combination is giving strong rising motion, a bunch of energy getting exhausted out of Southeast Asia. And that's colliding with some early cold air. You had early snowpack buildup in Siberia, and that collision area around the Himalayas is setting up such a strong temperature contrast that the jet stream, polar jet's getting quite invigorated. So that's going to result in the same type of a weather pattern change we had between October and November last year. We got a screaming polar jet that's going to deliver a parade of storms across the U.S. over the next 30 to 45 days. And so this last part of the corn harvest is going to be a bit more of a slog. And mixed in with that will be some strong wind events. So we have to worry about stalk breakage as well for those heavily diseased fields, which hopefully have already been harvested.
Yeah, yeah. Now, last year we stayed clear of snow till deep into the winter. Should we expect something similar?
No, I think you're going to see some heavy wet snowstorms across parts of the northern plains and north of I-80 in particular in late November, December timeframe. And then as we get into the teeth of the winter, a pretty active storm track through the central U.S., a lot of snow and ice storms hitting Chicago, Cleveland, Toledo area. So it's going to be a much wetter environment. Last year we had a snow drought in the upper Midwest, and I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I don't expect a ton of snow in the Dakotas and Minnesota, but at least normal snowfall for those areas and with an opportunity for an early big snowstorm.
Okay. Well, you've given us something all to look forward to, I guess, there, Kevin. That, keep us busy moving some snow around out here. Hey, what does this mean for the South American growing season?
I think the initial part of the season is struggling with moisture in the northern part of Brazil, center west region, Mato Grosso, Goiás, the Matapiba area, that's northeastern Brazil. We don't have the full-blown monsoonal flow set up yet, and doesn't look like that's going to happen for the next few weeks. So we do have stronger than usual cool fronts, thanks to a very strong Antarctic oscillation that's pushing stronger areas of cold air into their mid-latitudes. So that's been the primary source of rainfall activity. But that's not typical. Typical in Mato Grosso and Goiás is that it rains just about every other day starting around now. And it's only raining about once a week in some of these areas. So, and in between these rain events, temperatures are popping over 100 degrees. And so these young crops are going in and out of stress early, which means you're going to have some replant, some slowdown of the early growth. It's more of a temporal issue, meaning time opportunity loss. We thought with this early planting, we'd see an early time of arrival of the soybean crop out of center west and Paraná. There's early planted areas for soybeans. But in fact, these dry conditions are probably pushing back that crop calendar to something that's at least normal, not as slow as last year, but not as fast as we earlier thought. So it gives a little more potential opportunity for soybean, U.S. soybean exports in January. And then I think the pattern eventually does flip to a more traditional La Nina pattern, enhanced by warm waters that are flanking both sides of South America. And when we have that triple setup, I call it the three legs of the stool, a La Nina, warm waters off the coast of Chile, warm waters off the coast of Buenos Aires. If you have that setup in January, that's what you need to get these blocking systems that are sustained through most of January and February, the last one being in 22-23 growing season, where we lost half the crop in Argentina. Don't expect it to be that severe, but typical loss in that setup is about 20%.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that severe. A 20% loss. And does that focus the crop issues in Argentina, or do we need to watch out what's happening in Brazil in that scenario too?
Well, that footprint of dryness can expand up into Rio Grande do Sul as we go through late January and February, so it can cut that crop from 20 million metric ton soybean crop in half. And Paraguay could also see some late losses, a 10 plus million metric ton crop, losing 20 or 30%.
Yeah. Yeah.
The flip side of that could be it's too wet and becomes too wet in Mato Grosso in January for harvest.
Okay. All right. So you've got a fair amount of concern for the growing season in Brazil.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as benign as last year ended up being.
Okay. Not as benign isn't a red flag, Kevin. Or is it?
It's still early in the season, but we see we have some yellow caution flags out right now. We don't have it's too early to throw out the red flag.
Dude, that is so fair. That is absolutely 100% fair. And it is something that we're going to have to watch and pay very, very close attention to.
I think your listeners want to know about, we just came through 7 weeks of exceptional rainfall across the North China Plain, similar to what happened in 2020 in Northeast China. I think you have some idea what happens when corn can't be harvested. It's maturing, getting rains every other day for 7 weeks. What that quality of that corn is going to look like. So even if they can bring it in, storability issues. I think the private estimates from 2020 from the wet loss was about 30 million metric tons. It's still being measured out as a 260 yeah. million metric ton crop in 2020, but private estimates were 230.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Kevin, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you, and let's stay in touch, man. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Chip. Be well.
All right, that is Kevin Marcus Weather Consulting here on AgriTalk. Okay, Davis and I will be right back to put a wrap on this morning's AgriTalk.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Can I get my physical therapy at Amplify Health in Mondovi?
You sure can. Just ask. I'm Jennifer Plates, physical therapist here at Amplify Health in Mondovi. Physical therapy offers patients access to a range of rehabilitation services like treating back and neck pain, general orthopedic conditions, pre- and post-surgery rehab, balance and fall risk assessments, workman's comp, and school sport injuries. Talk to your healthcare provider to schedule your physical therapy appointment locally at Amplify Health by Gunderson in Mondovi.
NTEC is constantly evolving to bring you the very best communication services. Our high-speed, high-quality internet, voice, and video services help you make the connections that matter. We may have a new look, but we're still the same local provider you know and love right here in Durand. NTEC grows and changes as you do, so we can always meet your needs. Visit ntec.net to learn more. That's ntec.net.
I risk it. Your herd may have antigenic gaps that are not being covered by the products currently available. Custom-made vaccines provide a unique advantage in that they can be formulated to a herd's specific bacterial and viral needs. Choose the exact isolates, adjuvant, packaging, and size you need with Vaccinova for a vaccine formulated to your needs. Find out more by visiting us at vaccinova.us.com. That's vaccinova.us.com.
You okay?
Better than okay. The cows are loving Pioneer brand tonnage corn silage. With local selection and agronomics, plus service and support, the tonnage we got was amazing. And that feed quality really has an edge over the competition. I tell you, planting Pioneer brand tonnage corn silage is the best choice I ever made.
You sure about that?
Well, next to choosing you, of course.
Nice save.
Learn more at pioneer.com/tonnage.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and AgDay's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here along with Chip Flory. Hey, I was looking at the markets just in the break there. Mm-hmm. Looks like we got corn, I'll call it 2.25, 3 cents lower in the D's, lower. Soybeans have flipped to fractionally lower. Wheat is still lower because wheat. The feeder cattle are in the red right now. D's fat cattle still up a dollar, and the hogs are squealing higher. I was curious about gold. Bro, you should pull up a gold chart or maybe silver. I'm showing gold down 206.42 at 41.56.80 currently. Silver down $3.41. Now, we reported in the overnight that they were both sharply lower, with gold down 90 bucks and silver losing $2.50 per ounce, trading below the key $50 level. Man, it looks like maybe there was a little pop in silver somewhere in there, but ouch.
Not much.
It's looking a little bit ugly right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
no even platinum. About it. Platinum's off 75.46 to 15.60. What?
Yeah.
Is this just? Are we? Did we forget what volatility in the markets looks like? What trading volume can do to a market in these metals here? Any thoughts on it? Just off the top of your head.
As it pertains to the metals.
Yeah,
you know, you look at what has happened in feeder cattle and fat cattle futures, mm-hmm. where you know it used to be, if we saw a $2.50 move, it'd just be like mind blowing. What happened? Now we see a $5 move, and it's just kind of like, yeah, you know what? Well, given the fact that feeder cattle are at $370, okay, $5 move isn't all that. Gold's at 4,000.
Yeah.
But still, That's a big move. That's a 5% loss.
Yeah,
is what gold is dealing with right now. Silver, 3.5% loss. Mm-hmm. Crude oil has just found its footing and started to push back up to the upside. So maybe there's rotations of money flow happen all the time.
Yeah.
And the money has been flowing onto the long side of the precious metals, away from crude oil, away from, you know, grains, into cattle. And maybe, just maybe, we're starting to see a bit of a rotation in some of that money flow. But, boy, I'd make the market prove it before I decided that gold isn't any good anymore.
Yeah, well, of course. Of course. Interesting something that Mr. Marcus had to say, and you mentioned it just coming out of his segment. I feel like Ethan Lane was sort of expressing a similar sentiment, a parade of storms. Because what Lane said from NCBA, Ethan Lane, producers don't feel comfortable because things keep moving under their feet. Yeah. And I would say that that is true of cattle producers, even more so of the soybean producer.
Yeah.
And a headline-driven market doesn't make anybody feel all that more comfortable at all. But there are an awful lot of issues that would come from bringing in Argentine beef. Let's start there.
Yeah. Well, headline-driven markets, especially when you have no idea what the next headline is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
when we know that we have a negotiator-in-chief, all right, Mr. Trump, loves to play the game. He's making a deal.
He doesn't mind chaos.
Yes, yes. He knows how to use chaos. It's just the rest of us are in this wagon here, and it's bumpy, bro.
Well, and the ground keeps moving underneath our feet. When you don't know what that next headline is going to be, that is what makes some of this risk management a little more difficult than what we might like. And, you know, Ethan, as it impacts the ability to use LRP and so on, Ethan made some good points in there. We need to have the tools for risk management available to us, and they need to be viable tools. They need to be tools that provide the kind of risk management that they are advertised to have. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is all critical, but man, oh man, Kevin talking about a parade of storms coming through the upper Midwest, north by 80.
You may need your tinglies, brother.
I may need more than tinglies. Holy smokes. I didn't like hearing that at all. I need to sharpen the edge on the blade on the side-by-side. Maybe even do a little oil change. Treat it nice for a change.
Uh-huh.
Instead of just beating it. Get it ready for winter.
This is why we bring a guy like that on, so that if there's something to get ready for, we can, you know, maybe he's wrong. Maybe he's completely all wet, but we at least have been warned. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, and watch the setup in Brazil and Argentina. If the sea surface temperatures off the coast of South America, both sides, remain above normal and we stay in this La Nina pattern, that, as Kevin explained, is the setup that turns into some kind of a blocking ridge and keeps rain out of those key production areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, boy, oh boy, are we going to be watching that close. Some of the numbers that he was throwing around, I mean, the last time we had a setup like that, Argentina lost half of its bean crop.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that bad. It absolutely does not have to be that bad. The last time we had this setup, we lost 10 million tons out of Rio Grande do Sul. Again, it probably doesn't have to be that bad. It just needs to be enough to move that global supply needle. And if we can do that, then we're going to put a focus back on, you know, a 250 million bushel carry here in the States. And that could turn into some price gains for us. All right, thank you so much for listening. Come back this afternoon. I'm looking forward to this. Ryan Wagner, Bolt Marketing up in Britain, South Dakota, is going to be our guest right here on AgriTalk.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call US Med now to learn more.
800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A day after the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals granted the Trump administration stay on a temporary restraining order preventing the deployment of National Guard members to Portland, Oregon, the DOJ now asking the judge